This is Scott Perguin of KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. We have on the line Leah Bolger from Corvallis. She's part of Veterans for Peace and right now actively involved in organizing and carrying out the fast as part of the Troops Home Fast. Hello, Leah.
Hello, Scott.
How are you doing up there in Corvallis?
We're doing great. It's beautiful weather up here, and everybody's feeling good, and we have lots of participants. Everything's really great.
Okay, so it looks like I was looking at the Troops Home Fast website today, which is, of course, Code Pink is one of the organizations that's doing that, as well as many others, and probably Veterans for Peace as well. They're saying there's well over 3,000 people that are fasting in solidarity with this today, mm-hmm. as we speak. One of the questions I have is that what's been described that you're doing there, I think in Corvallis as well as other places, is what's called a rolling fast. Could you describe how that works and what that means?
Right, sure. Because most people cannot physically or emotionally fast for unlimited periods of time, it can be very difficult on your body. So if people could just pledge to fast for 24 hours, we can keep this going by having one person fast one day and another person fast the next,
mm-hmm.
And keep it going until the plan is to keep it going until September 21st, which is the International Day of Peace.
Mm-hmm.
So some people are fasting for longer periods. I personally started on the 4th, and I haven't broken the fast yet. Mm. My husband also started on the 4th, and he just broke the fast a couple hours ago. He had some fruit. So other people are doing, they're doing what they can. And if they can't fast or they don't wish to fast, then we're still asking for support by having people come and man the table in Corvallis. We have a table and some chairs and information and petitions and signs and all that set up in front of the Bend County Courthouse, mm-hmm. on the corner of 4th and Jackson. So people are supporting us by manning the table, even if they can't fast. And if they can fast from home and let us know they're fasting, then their name will be recorded on the tote board of fasters, and we'll still be keeping the presence in front of the courthouse to keep everybody informed. So most people are fasting for only one day.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of days between now and the 21st of September, so we
right.
definitely need more people to volunteer to do that.
Right. So are you maintaining a presence in front of the courthouse for 24 hours, or are you there for... Okay.
No, we chose the 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., which are the same hours that the Code Pink group in Washington, D.C. is maintaining a public presence in front of the White House. So it's in solidarity with them, and it does overlap with the regular daily vigil in Corvallis that's been going on for almost 4 years now, which is from 5 to 6 p.m.
Right, that's one of the astounding things about the Corvallis community.
Yeah.
All of you continue to be an inspiration, and for those of us that are in other places in Oregon, at least, and of course anybody that knows about you, I'm sure, is inspired. Tell me how you've fasted now, I believe this would be the sixth day you're in, right?
That's right.
So how are you feeling physically? Can you describe for folks how that... what kind of how taxing is that on your body? And I'm sure it varies by individual. But then I think, what kind of emotional space do you feel you're in through all of this?
Uh-huh. Well, the first day I fasted with just water, and that was not easy, I will say. But the purpose of a fast is to feel some discomfort,
mm-hmm.
and it's a reminder, albeit nothing compared to the pain that you feel from war or the loss of a loved one. But it is kind of a physical reminder of a hardship and sacrifice that other people are going through. So it was uncomfortable the first day, and it got progressively better. Today is by far the best I've felt, and I've added, though, from the first day I just did water, I've added very, very diluted fruit and vegetable juices.
Mm-hmm.
And after the first day, I went to the internet and Googled fast and health and safe, and found out that it's much easier on your body if you do a juice fast than just water.
Mm-hmm.
So I switched to that, and I feel really good today. It's just progressively been getting better, and I feel empty but not hungry. So
mm-hmm.
it's fine now.
Well, let's talk about There's obviously things about the wars going on and this sort of thing, and it's been continuing to go on, and there's many of us who have been working against it in one way or another that are frustrated, is one emotion, of course. And
right.
But what specifically led you as personally to say, okay, I'm gonna fast, I'm gonna join these folks?
Well, you know, I think it's just kind of a point of frustration where, you know, we've tried protests and resolutions and letters to the editor and letters to our congressmen and demonstrations, and this is just one more level of voicing our dissent and our opinions and our hope that the war will end and we'll stop this needless, immoral killing. So, you know, it's a little bit more radical, but fasting and hunger strikes do have a history of being successful, and you know, in the following the ideas of Mahatma Gandhi, who instituted the whole philosophy of nonviolence called Satyagraha, which incidentally is coming up on its 100th anniversary on September 11th, by strange coincidence. So obviously, you know, Gandhi accomplished a great deal with his hunger strike, and suffrage rights were gained through hunger strikes, as well as the, you know, more recently the migrant workers and farm labor gained some benefits and rights through hunger strikes. So it does have a history of being successful. It's not always successful, of course, but nothing is always successful. So I think it's just another attempt to do something. People feel like sitting at home and just voting every 4 years or every 2 years isn't enough, mm-hmm. and we've got to do anything we can think of to protest this horrible war.
Well, tell folks more about the ongoing nature of actions in Corvallis. As we mentioned earlier, Alternatives to War, and I imagine Veterans for Peace, others have been involved in a phenomenal string of vigils every day, starting, I believe, before the invasion of Iraq.
Of Afghanistan.
Oh, okay, that far back.
Mm-hmm.
So right after September 11th. Right after September 11th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, it's even more phenomenal than I thought. But this is a daily thing. I know in Cottage Grove we do it twice a week. We have vigils.
Uh-huh.
And we've been doing it since December of 2002. But this is an amazing, can I use the word amazing enough?
Yeah.
It's an incredible,
remarkable
commitment. So could you tell folks more about
sure.
how that's
yeah.
going, how it started, whatever you know about it?
Right. Well, I've only lived here slightly less than 2 years,
okay.
So this started well before I got here. But there are a core group of people from Alternatives to War who started this before the war started, and in protest of possible invasion of foreign countries without cause.
Mm-hmm.
And there every evening from 5 to 6, no matter if it's raining, snowing, sleeting, shining, dark of night in the winter, there is somebody there. And sometimes it's only a handful, but sometimes it's, 20 or so. It depends on, you know, who's in town and how they're feeling and what their other obligations are. But there's always been somebody there. And we hold signs, and it's a nonviolent, peaceful protest. And people tell me who've done it for the duration that when it first started, we got about a 50-50 mix of negative to positive reactions with different configurations of one's fingers.
Right, yes.
Yes. So, peace sign and then, like, half a peace sign.
Mm-hmm.
So they've gotten, but now it seems like it's much, much, much stronger the other direction, mm-hmm. much more people in support of us, and also the community itself has done a lot in other ways too to work for peace. Corvallis was the first town in all of Oregon to pass the city council to pass a resolution calling for the return of the troops.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really proud of that. Veterans for Peace is chapter 132 is the Corvallis chapter, and we were we're the second chapter in all of Oregon. The only other one is chapter 72 in Portland, and we got our charter in February, so we haven't been going for too long, but we're getting involved in the local actions.
Mm-hmm.
I did want to mention, we've had several vigils and rallies. We had a fairly large, at least for our town, rally on the 18th of March, which was the third anniversary of the Iraq invasion. And we had over 500 people here, and I know Portland and Eugene both had bigger rallies than that. But I was pleased with the turnout, and we had some really wonderful speakers, a couple from Gold Star Family speak out, Michelle and Steve DeFord, who spoke very, very poignantly about their son, David Johnson, and how he died. We've had, like I said, rallies and vigils. The most recent rally was in support of Lieutenant Aaron Watata. Are your listeners familiar with his situation?
Well, they should be. Let's put it that way. That's through various news reports, including Democracy Now, of course, that covered his situation. But go ahead. Say more about him, please.
Well, the 27th of June was called the National Day of Action in support of Lieutenant Aaron Watata. He's the first commissioned officer to publicly speak out against the Iraq War, and to do so based on the fact that the war itself is illegal. So now he's awaiting court-martial. He's restricted to his base in Fort Lewis. But really, in a way, it's good that he'll be going to court-martial, because then he will be able to put the war itself on trial in voicing his own defense,
mm-hmm.
because the war itself is illegal because it breaches the the international treaties we have signed, the Geneva Conventions, the Nuremberg Principles, UN Charter. It violates those, and I believe it is Article 6 of our Constitution that says that every citizen of the United States is beholden to any international treaty that our government signs on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
So when he refuses to obey the order to go to Iraq, he's refusing an unlawful order because it's an illegal war. And actually, it is his duty to refuse unlawful orders. And when you join the military, and I'm a 20-year vet myself,
mm-hmm.
when you join the military, you take an oath that says that you swear you will work to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. It doesn't say I will support and blindly obey any orders given me,
mm-hmm.
only those lawful ones. So we're really hopeful that when he goes to trial, that we can put the war on trial instead of Aaron's action.
Well, let's hope so. I know from down here in this part of the southern Willamette Valley in Oregon, we've got a situation with Suzanne Swift,
mm-hmm, yeah.
who is also being confined to base in Fort Lewis, who had a tour of a year in Iraq. It's a very interesting and complicated situation, but the gist of it is that she became a victim herself through sexual harassment and
mm-hmm.
was supposed to be deployed
again. Sexual harassment, sexual assault.
Apparently that the intimidation and all that continues in her situation. And
mm-hmm.
Interesting that they're both on the same base.
It is. I understand in her case that actually she's not facing any kind of punitive action. At least no charge has been brought against her at this point, and they have assigned an independent officer to investigate her situation. So
yeah.
Hopefully she will be given a medical or an honorable discharge, and she'll receive the help she needs
right. Instead
of persecution and punishment.
Ooh, it sounds like to me a strong impression of this Troops Home Fast that's happening in D.C., happening in Corvallis, happening places all over the country, as well as the world, I guess.
Right, that's right.
That this is one of the things you're trying to do, is heighten the awareness and try to move our fellow citizens to a different level here, beyond the polls that say that a majority believe the war should end, to putting that into some kind of action and pressure on leadership in this country.
Exactly. There are really three goals. The one is exactly as you stated. The other is to get, there are two petitions or pledges that Code Pink has asked people to work on while they're fasting, and one is called the Voters Pledge, and this is you can sign the pledge online through the Code Pink website, which mm-hmm. is codepink.org. org, I believe.
I believe so, yeah.
And also votersforpeace.org.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pledge that basically just says, I'm not going to vote for any candidate in the fall election for Congress or President who does not work actively to get our troops out of Iraq and to end the war and work for peace. So they're planning on using that, I think, more on a national level, not mm-hmm. not necessarily on state candidates, but national candidates for Congress. I'm thinking, I don't know this to be true, but I'm thinking they're doing it more for people kind of like perhaps Hillary Clinton, who
mm-hmm.
Need to be convinced that her constituents and the rest of the country want us out of there. So I don't know that to be true, but that's my assumption.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other is called the Declaration of Peace, which also has its own website, declarationofpeace.org. And that is saying, and it's endorsed or sponsored by a number of peace organizations, including United for Peace and Justice, amongst others. But it is a pledge that if a plan for troop withdrawal is not in place by the 21st of September, which, as I mentioned before, is the International Day of Peace, then you will pledge to participate in nonviolent direct action acts of civil disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
And they're hoping to get nationally organized, a week of nationally organized acts of civil disobedience organized
mm-hmm.
for the 21st of September. So those are two petitions that we're signing. We're also having people sign pledges of support for Lieutenant Aaron Waitata,
mm-hmm.
which we're mailing up to him, and postcards with personal messages of support for him.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also gathering signatures on a rural organizing project called the Cost of War Campaign. It's a little bit new for the people here in Corvallis, so we've been explaining the ROP's project of Cost of War and gathering signatures for that as well.
All right. Well, it sounds like a very worthwhile action with the important element of, as we said, I guess, self-sacrifice or the fasting
uh-huh.
part, which shows that, I think, shows a deeper commitment. It's obvious that if we could go out and stand on the street or march and all that with no personal, nothing that we're sacrificing,
mm-hmm.
that it's hard to see much meaning in that on some level.
Mm-hmm.
So it's obviously this war has gone on about 3+ years too long.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to see people getting creative I guess getting more serious. For some of us, it's
mm-hmm.
taking it more seriously, if that's possible.
Mm-hmm. There are women. I know Diane Wilson, who is one of the co-founders of Code Pink.
Mm-hmm.
She has pledged an open-ended fast, not necessarily to end on the 21st of September, but till the troops are home.
Right.
And she's done a great deal of activism, political activism, and she's gone on hunger strikes before. And her feeling is that, you know, men and women of Iraq and the United States are laying their bodies on the line,
mm-hmm.
and that's what she wants to do: put
mm-hmm.
her body on the line, and
right.
and in the same way.
Right. Well, that's a long ways away, September
mm-hmm.
21st.
Yes, it is. It is.
Okay. So, obviously, more people are needed. Support is needed. Is there a way that folks, what's the best way for folks to support what you're doing in Corvallis?
Okay, well, there's an email address. They can write to me at troopshome@comcast.net.
Okay.
And, or they could come by the table, the Troops Home Fest table on the corner of 4th and Jackson in Corvallis in front of the courthouse. And we have a calendar there. They can sign up for an hour or a couple hours or a day or whatever that works for them.
Mm-hmm.
We have some people that pledge to fast, for instance, every Friday,
mm-hmm.
And which is doable. You know, it's not easy for people to do it for long term, but most people can physically do it. People are a little bit afraid of fasting, and,
mm-hmm.
and it's probably because they've never gone without food before, you know.
Right.
But But most people don't have any problems with it. But we certainly don't want anybody harming themselves.
Right.
And if you're, you know, if people are hypoglycemic or whatever, and they can't, that's fine. But we could definitely use the support to keep the presence up, open, you know, and focused there. I think, you know, when people drive by that intersection, which is a fairly prominent intersection in Corvallis, and we have a big pink sign, this is Bring the Troops Home Fast, and when they see that sign there every day, for 2.5 months, we've had people that pulled over and said, I drive by this thing all the time, and what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
What's this all about? So they can come down and sign up, or they can email me and let me know when they'd like to come by and be part of the support group, or
mm-hmm.
if they'd like to fast. We're also accepting non-perishable food donations that
mm-hmm.
are symbolically representing the food that we don't eat,
okay.
and which will be donated to a local food bank.
Okay.
So
great.
If anybody wants to bring that, that would be a good way to support us as well.
All right. So what kind of local media coverage are you getting?
Well, the Corvallis Gazette Times had a very good article about it the next day, on the 5th of July,
mm-hmm.
after we started. And Channel 9 came a couple days later. They're out of Eugene, but there's a local reporter here, Nicole Navarro, who interviewed me and did a segment on Channel 9 News, KEZI. And then I got an email yesterday from KVAL, a woman there, saying that she was interested in doing a story about us. And I believe that's the CBS station in Eugene,
okay.
also. So,
mm-hmm.
One other thing is there's a local website called Corvallis Connection that has that did a little piece about it, and it's on my blog at the Benton County Democrats website,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's about it.
Okay. I would assume that you don't mind people just coming and standing with you.
Oh, no, that
would be great.
It might be
a good way for people to get a sense of what's going on, and who knows, it may
that's
lead them
great.
To do something
they
more.
They could come by, and if they can't sit at the tables, they could perhaps just sign the petition.
Mm-hmm.
Or I have postcards that I made up that on one side are quotes from a wide range of people on about peace and war and resistance and nonviolence and courage and that kind of thing. And then, so I'm asking people to write a personal message of support on the back, and that's what we're mailing off to Aaron Watata.
Mm-hmm.
So they can fill out a postcard, they can sign the Declaration of Peace pledge, the Voters pledge, the Cost of War campaign petition, and get a feeling for what we're doing here. So yeah, just people stopping by is great. We'd love to see people wave and honk, but if they'll pull over and come sign a petition, it would really, really help us.
All right, very good. Well, thank you very much, Leah. I appreciate your taking the time and appreciate the personal effort that you're putting into this this whole Troops Homes Fast, as well as Veterans for Peace and ongoing peace efforts.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the coverage you're giving us and helping us get the word out.
I was talking to Leah Bolger of Veterans for Peace from Corvallis, Oregon. You can email Leah at troopshome@comcast.net. Comcast.net is COMCAST.net.